Welcome to the November 2010 podcast for Journal of Neurosurgery Pediatrics. I'm Natalie Pinsham. In this podcast, editorial board member Dr. Douglas Konzioka of the University of Pittsburgh speaks with Dr. Jason Sheehan of the University of Virginia. They discuss Dr. Sheehan and colleagues' article, Gamma Knife Surgery for Arteriovenous Malformations in Children. The article appears in this month's issue.
I'm Doug Konzioka from the University of Pittsburgh, a member of the editorial board of the Journal of Neurosurgery, and I'm going to introduce Dr. Jason Sheehan, associate professor at the University of Virginia, to comment on his paper on the role of stereotactic radiosurgery for arteriovenous malformations in children. Go ahead, Dr. Sheehan.
Thank you, Dr. Konzioka. It was a pleasure to publish this article in the Journal of Neurosurgery, in particular the Journal of Neurosurgery Pediatrics. What we did was to retrospectively look at our institutional cohort of patients with arteriovenous malformations that underwent gamma knife radiosurgery. And in this case, we looked at the pediatric population. We looked at the results of successful obliteration and that followed after gamma knife radiosurgery, and also looked at factors that related to both favorable and unfavorable outcomes. In particular, we found that the overall obliteration rate in our cohort of patients was, after one or two gamma knife radiosurgeries, was roughly 60%, that those patients that were more likely to have a successful obliteration after radiosurgery were those that had no prior embolization, a smaller AVM nidus, a higher margin dose to the arteriovenous malformation, a lower SRS AVM grade, and a smaller number of isocenters, which I think in part was related to the AVM volume.
Let me ask you a question about that, because it seems that the biologic procedure for arteriovenous malformations, many centers from across the world seem to get similar findings regarding those factors that correlate with successful obliteration. And one of them that's increasingly being seen to be important is the role of embolization, which indeed may be a negative predictor for a number of reasons, including the fact that the AVM was larger to begin with, so that's a bit of a selection bias, and the fact that an embolized AVM can be more difficult to target in some instances. So based on your study, what's your current feeling on the role of embolization in children with AVMs?
Well, we found that those patients who underwent embolization were less likely to have a successful outcome after radiosurgery. In part, I think, for all the reasons that you described, that is that those patients who have previous embolization have a larger AVM, that their targeting is more difficult, that oftentimes an interventional neuroradiologist or a neurosurgeon performing interventional procedures doesn't quite understand what our goal is with embolization, the goal really being to cut down on the AVM nidus, but yet to keep the remainder of the nidus compact and not segregate portions of the nidus that make it very, very difficult for targeting and very difficult for dose planning. That we tend not to recommend embolization in advance of radiosurgery unless the nidus is substantial in volume. But I too agree that in general the role of embolization makes it more difficult at times to treat patients, particularly pediatric patients, with AVMs.
If you have one of the most challenging situations would be a child with a large AVM, a large developmental AVM, Spetzler Martin grade 4, something bigger than 3 centimeters, 3, 4, even 5 centimeters in diameter. Is your approach to do a staged radiosurgery based upon volume? Will you still continue to do some embolization with Onyx, since probably many of the cases in your series used different, probably used glue rather than Onyx?
With regard to Spetzler Martin grade 4 and 5, the successful obliteration rates were 11 and less than 1% in this series. So what I would say that we would do going forward is the use of selective Onyx embolizations to cut down on the nidus, but only when the AVM volume was substantial, particularly if there was an associated aneurysm, that one would go in and want to coil the aneurysm associated with the nidus, and then also to try to cut down on the overall AVM nidus volume before radiosurgery. But in general, I think that the other option is a staged approach, which we've discussed in this paper a bit, and which I would say to this point, the Pittsburgh series is the best one out there in the literature that talks about volume staged approach for radiosurgery. And I think that that's a very appealing approach for patients that have special Martin grade 4 and 5 AVMs. Certainly, I think there's little doubt in my mind that pediatric patients who have an AVM should have it treated. The lifetime risk of a rupture is high, and in fact, most of the patients in our series present with a hemorrhage.
And I think, given the findings of your paper and some other recent studies in pediatric patient populations, particularly in patients who've had a hemorrhage, strong consideration should also be made to surgical removal of the AVM if the location is favorable.
Certainly, I think special Martin grade 1 AVMs, of which we treated a percentage of those in this series, mainly because of patient choice in this case, but those are very amenable to surgical resection, and it removes the latency period associated with radiosurgery for obliteration in most patients. And that may be, I'd say that's a very preferable approach for patients with special Martin grade 1 AVMs.
Well, thank you for your comments on your report, and this will conclude the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast on this article.
Thank you.
This concludes our podcast for the November issue of Journal of Neurosurgery Pediatrics. Thank you for listening. For more information on how to submit your research to Journal of Neurosurgery Pediatrics, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.